to declare the meeting open at 9:32, and as always, I'd like to start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet this morning. I'd also like to pay respect to their elders past and present, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who may be present this morning. And look, just before we go into the drill of our standing orders, etc., I'd just like to welcome a couple of new faces to the senior management team, and start with our new CEO, Andrew Testman. Welcome to Redland City Council. Being appointed, I have to say I've had lots of very positive feedback from people across the state, and we're looking forward to working with Andrew from today, actually. Also, I'd like to welcome John Oberhart, who comes from next door in Logan. Is now the General Manager of Organisational Services. This is their first general meeting for those in the public gallery and councillors, so we're going to try and be gentle with them today so they come back tomorrow. So with that, back into the structure of the meeting, if I may, just a reminder for the people in the public gallery that under our standing orders, we do have a code of conduct, and that is that all members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of a chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, must remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring any signs or placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present, be suitably dressed, turn all mobile devices to silent mode, and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements that I may, with or without such warning or notice, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for a period of time that I decide. This period may include future meetings. Leaves of absence. We do have Councillor Edwards, who has injured himself, and he is phoning in for this meeting. I'll need a mover and seconder, if I could, that Councillor Edwards be given permission to take part in this general meeting by teleconference. Move Councillor Boglari, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Elliott is not in the room. I haven't been advised of any other leaves of absence, so with that, we'll go straight to our devotional segment. Pardon me? Or Councillor Golay. My apologies. Councillor Golay is also absent. The devotional segment, a member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship, would like to welcome Pastor Peter Greaves from the 3C Church to lead Council in a brief devotional segment. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Thanks, Mayor Karen, Council staff and members of the gallery. Thanks very much for having us here today. The Bible, I'm only going to be half an hour, maybe a few minutes. The Bible says that there's a lot of teachers but not many fathers. And so in 2010, I wrote a book to actually help young people progress. So it's called ID. There's a picture of my dad's World War II ID tags or identification tags that he had in the war. And to progress, I thought this morning that I'd mention four things that I've got in this manual. I've taken a lot of young men through this book over the years, and it's positive if we want to progress people, whether they're young people, whether they're people that work under us or for us. And the first one's affirmation. Everyone likes being affirmed or encouraged, and especially boys and girls, and especially girls. You know, when you tell them how tall they're getting or how big they look, and they're always turning something. I find when you ask their age, say, how old are you? I'm turning 11. I'm turning 12. And that's really good till they get to about 30, and then they usually ladies stay in their 30s, I think. So affirmation leads us to acceptance. And then when we accept people or we feel accepted, those are the two bridges that can lead us to the next two important things that I believe, which the next one is accountability. We're never going to grow, and we're never going to mature, and we're never going to progress unless we have accountable relationships in our life. And so with that one, so affirmation, acceptance, accountability, and that leads to authority. Now, authority, it's not talking about the army authority where you do what you're told and maybe we'll like you. It's talking about an augmented authority, which is if you've got something that you can give me, you can mentor me in some way, shape or form, then I actually submit to you. I come to you and say, can you actually help me develop this area in my life? And in that, because of the affirmation, acceptance, accountability, then authority, we can actually progress people and progress ourselves. And getting back to the scripture, there's a lot of people that can tell you how to live life, but in reality, what this generation needs, what you and I need, no matter how old we are, is father figures, mother figures in our life, especially for this community. So I just wanted to say those four things. Now, if we just want to bow our heads and pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for the father heart that is in people. And I pray for the counsellors and the people in this place in the gallery today that we'd all adopt a heart that has a heart for the young people and the people in this city and the people we come across. So God, let wisdom rest on the shoulders of these people and let your spirit rest on their mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
As we get our technology organised, we'll just go on to our section of recognition of achievement. And as he's just entered the room, I'd like to recognise Councillor Elliott, who has served 20 years. A milestone has been achieved in the last month as an elected representative of the people of our city of Redlands. This makes him one of our longest-serving local government politicians in Queensland, and he will be acknowledged also by the Local Government of Australia. The Association of Queensland later this year. I think anyone that served for that long would agree that local government has changed a lot in that time, and obviously to survive those changes and still be here influencing the future of our city is certainly a great achievement, and few of us ever achieve a milestone such as that. For our regular councillor watchers, Councillor Elliott has been one constant in this chamber for two decades. He is our equivalent now of the State Parliament's grandfather of the House. You're in the wrong level of government for that, Councillor. He was... I think he has got shoes on today. He was sworn into the former Redland Shire Council on the 25th of March 1997. The previous 7 years were spent as a proprietor of an Alexandra Hills hardware store after returning from Rockhampton in 1988 and setting up house with his family in Alexandra Hills, where he still resides today, last I heard. Councillor Elliott has been a very vocal voice for the people of Alexandra Hills since 1997. Most of you would know that he will tell you he has got gold playgrounds in Alexandra Hills, and that would be one of his proudest achievements that he talks about. But obviously he's also been very committed to sustainable growth, the environment, public transport in particular, roads and traffic issues. For those of you who need to be consistent in your life, if you turn up every second Saturday at Alexandra Hills Shopping Centre, he will be part of the furniture there where he listens to his local constituents. Or, of course, doing that for 20 years solid. I think it might be 20 years. You might have adopted that later in life. I don't know. But that is something that has become a fixture in the people of Alexandra Hills' mind, that they can find him there every second weekend. The recent redistribution of divisional boundaries saw him take on responsibility at the 2016 local government elections for part of the rapidly growing Thornlands area, which he now shares with Councillor Golay. And Councillor Elliott has also worked with a number of mayors and councillors over his 20 years and has been part of many decisions that have influenced where we are today and where we hope to head in the future. He also served as deputy mayor, and he tells me, or he tells others, I think, that he still enjoys the job most days and certainly enjoys the challenges that are provided to him by his constituents and by the Redlands residents in serving his community. So with that, Councillor Elliott, if you've got your lace-up shoes on, we'd like to invite you up the front. That's okay. Only that Councillor Golay referred to your shoes, your footwear, when you walked in, Councillor. So if you'd like to come up, I have a certificate to present to you. Couldn't get him in a tie, but he's got shoes.
I got the two of the original ties.
Where are they?
Wait a second.
and daughter. It's not that old. All right. Now down to business, councillors. We have our receipt and confirmation of the minutes for the 22nd of March, 2017. Have I missed order of business? No, I haven't yet. That's cool. Sorry, I just need a mover and seconder for the minutes of the general meeting to be confirmed, if I may have a mover. I said, are you moving it, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, like
and seconded by Councillor Bishop. You'd like to speak to that, Councillor?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The minutes of the meeting of the, and the date was the
22nd
of March, were put up on our website immediately after the meeting, and there were some errors in that first original version. We picked that up pretty quickly and pulled the minutes down, and we had spent, I think, nearly 2 days going over them. There were obviously quite a lot there. And I just wanted to put on the public record, for anyone that maybe did pick that very first version up, there are some errors in it, and they need to go back and ensure that they've got the right set. Thank you.
Councillor Hughes, any other items of correctness? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried. Thank you. I did get a seconder, did I?
Yes.
Councillor Bishop, I think. Sorry, Liz.
Sorry.
I'll speak more clearly and slowly for you. All right. I'm not advised of any matters outstanding from minutes of our previous general meeting, so we'll go on to public participation. I know that we have had some people apply to speak in our session this morning, so if I could have a mover and seconder, please. Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Tolte, that the meeting adjourn for a 15-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address Council on matters of local government interest. I'll just put that motion. Those in favour? Did I get that? Those against? I did.
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. All right. Just going to my list. First off, we have Mr. Scott Brown on behalf of Macro Plan Damazi in regards to the Grandview Hotel unit development. And as he approaches the microphone, I'll just read you the protocols that are required. Firstly, there is some signage in the chambers, which you may have already had the opportunity to read. It's our usual practice to require any person addressing council to state their name and suburb or the organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. The information will be recorded in the minutes of this meeting, which is a public document and is available for inspection at Council's administration building and published on our website. Just some other little points to note that any person addressing this meeting will state their name and suburb or the organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. Stand unless you're unable to do so. Act and speak with decorum. Be respectful and courteous. Make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Also my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have made a fully written application to the CEO to address the meeting and determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to address council and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the numbers of speakers. I also have the opportunity to withdraw the approval to address council before that time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this point in time. If any of the speakers require a hearing loop, please just let us know and we'll bring that microphone to you and have you stand in the gallery. Okay. After that, Mr. Brown, if you'd like to state your name and suburb, the organisation which you represent, and you may begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor Williams. My name's Scott Brown. I'm from a company called Macro Plan Damazi. I'm the Queensland Planning Manager. Macro Plan has been involved in assisting an application for the Grandview Hotel site out at 4547 North Street at Cleveland. It's item 11.3.4 on today's agenda. I'd just like to firstly thank Council for the opportunity to address the Council today. And I'd also like to pass on my congratulations to the Assessment Manager's report that's been prepared for this application that's before Council today. It's a very thorough and comprehensive report. The councillors that have read that report will note that the DA is fully compliant with the relevant codes within the Redlands Planning Scheme, version 7. It's a type of use that's expected in this area. It's of a design and scale that is sympathetic with the heritage-listed Grandview Hotel, which adjoins the site. It has a site cover at 38%, which is less than the 45% allowed under the code. All the building setbacks comply, so the bulk and scale of the building is consistent with the expectations, and therefore the density expectations for that site and the development have been met. There is one area that has caused some level of concern and has been modified in relation to the building height. There's a specific solution within the development code or the medium density code that gives a height limit of a certain height of 13 metres, whereas the overall outcomes contained within the code talk about a height of 3 to 5 storeys, which this building has been is consistent with that height limit. Again, I reiterate that gives a height and bulk and scale which is consistent with the area. It also has a number of architectural elements that reduce the height and the scale of the building through setting back the upper level of the building from the side boundaries, and it doesn't prejudice the heights that could be achieved on adjoining development sites because of the generous setbacks to adjoining sites. The building also has a much lesser footprint than a currently approved DA on the site, which enables the protection of a heritage-listed banyan tree located on that site. Just quickly, some key matters of public interest I think that Council would be aware of, but I'd just like to reiterate. There were only 3 submissions to this development application when it was publicly notified. However, none of those submissions were received from adjoining owners or within the immediate vicinity of the site. And I think that demonstrates the consistency of community expectations around what type of development would be able to occur in that area. I've already mentioned that the reduced building footprint on the site allows for the protection into the long term of the significant trees located on the site, and also provides a much more landscaping on the site to blend in better with the area. It's certainly a superior outcome than the current approval on the site, which has its currency period until sometime next year. So if this development isn't approved by council, then certainly there's a fallback position. But as I said, this development is a far superior outcome. And overall, it's a quality development that will lead to some improved housing choice within the Cleveland area and improved housing supply. In summary, the applicant has been prepared to modify this development through discussions with council and has agreed to reduce the height and to improve the setbacks of the upper level in accordance with the request from council officers. And in conclusion, I seek that council approves this application of a fully compliant development which has been supported by council's planning officers. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Our next speaker is Ms. Henry, Deborah Henry. I believe she's tabling a petition, but hasn't said as to what. Deborah, I think you know the drill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Your fellow councillors, Madam Deputy Mayor and council officers and members of the gallery, thank you for this opportunity to be here. I am speaking to a petition which I intend to table, and for the sake of clarity, I have got some blank copies of that petition if the councillors would like to have that in front of them as I speak for a couple of moments as to the background and the context as to why I'm here. Would you like the councillors to have a copy of the petition? Yes? Okay. Thank you. While that's happening, I'm a resident of Thornlands. Okay. Will I continue? Yes, thank you. As some of you would be aware, I'm one of the residents accused of defamation and threatened with legal action by the Redland City Council. I was alerted to this harassing harangue at a time I was in Sydney at the hospital bedside of my daughter who was experiencing complications with her pregnancy. The letter I received was most intimidating. That I had to deal with this unwarranted allegation during such a sensitive time made the matter quite disturbing for my husband and myself. Under the circumstances it was received, and in the time frame stipulated, I felt I had no choice but to comply with the threatening instruction by posting a public apology within 3 days. Shortly after, when my daughter's condition had improved and I'd returned from Sydney, I wrote to council advising that I disputed the allegation and requested that I be forwarded copies of the material which were allegedly posted by me and publicly and repeatedly described by council, and I quote, as continued, untrue, deeply offensive and defamatory material posted on public media. Council replied, saying the letter I received was issued in response to online bullying, which is simply untrue, and in hindsight quite ironic. That I made an apology, coerced as it was, people are now under the impression that I engaged in the behaviour described by council. This is clearly not the case, as council was able to provide me with one only Facebook post. Council's public defence of its actions asserted that, and I quote, this organisation has a duty of care to protect the reputation of its officers and this city from such malicious and deceptive allegations. Given that my one Facebook post made no mention of or allude to any council officers, makes council's assertion unwarranted and the motivation highly questionable. My Facebook post was nothing other than fair comment. It was also prefaced and concluded with statements that indicate it is an opinion with a degree of uncertainty rather than an accusation or assertion of fact. Furthermore, I have two things. One, time constraints, and two, integrity, which prevent me from posting continued untrue, deeply offensive and defamatory material to social media as I've been accused. As I have already advised counsel in written correspondence, my reputation has been tarnished by this and I feel I've been reduced to some kind of pawn in a political game. It is incumbent on the sitting councillors of Redland City to move without hesitancy on an already overdue report to the Ombudsman's January report. Further delays reflect poorly on the administration of council and our community deserves better. This report, some of the recommendations include changes to council policies. I ask that my elected representative, Paul Gollay, table the petition of 140 constituents gathered with little effort from across the city for consideration of council. I hope council would move and adopt a motion that this petition be dealt with in a timely and thorough manner. I have the petition here. In conclusion, thank you. Finally, with the implementation of the Ombudsman's recommendations, it is hoped that 1, future criticism of council will be seen as constructive and representative of a community which is entitled to be heard rather than silenced for expressing contrary opinions, and 2, that the community's faith in the accountability and transparency of Redland City Council in respect to the use of public monies is restored. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Henry. I also believe we have another speaker that wishes to address council, am I correct? Is there Mr. Booker? Oh, would you like to come up to the microphone, please, and state your name, suburb, or the organisation you represent. Thank you. You may begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor, councillors, public. I'm here this morning just to, I guess, talk a little bit about...
Your name and the suburb or organisation you represent. It's okay. Take a deep breath. It's all good.
Paul Booker, Redland Bay is my suburb. I'm just here to talk today about agenda item 11.3.3. The development at 847 to 897 German Church Road, Redland Bay. Obviously, I have a vested interest. I live right next door. So I would prefer that the development goes ahead as a residential development rather than industrial development for obvious personal reasons. I don't want to live next to an industrial estate. But more than that, I wanted to put forward today just the feelings of the community. And I guess as a person who's been involved in the community there for a number of years, served on the PNC at the local state school as president and treasurer, I like to think that I get out into the community and try and hear people's voices and try and understand, I guess, what the community feels. Even where we're situated, I often talked with locals around what was happening with the land next door as they cleared it and removed some of the trees. And most of the people that we talked with certainly didn't know that it was an industrial estate. Thought it was just a big block of land that was being cleared, houses would go on there. As I talked to people walking past our estate, when they realised that it was industrial, it was a surprise to them, and they didn't realise that that's what it was. They wanted to know what could they do to make sure that their little part of Redland Bay wasn't turned into an industrial estate. Because of that, I guess I wanted to capture that officially, and we did that, and we were able to gather a petition amongst the local community. We went out, my wife and I, over a number of weekends and talked to the local community, to those houses and estates that are local to the area, and we had a 100% response rate. No one that we questioned or talked to within their homes wanted an industrial estate. Most people didn't even know that it was zoned industrial. They assumed that houses would be going there, and that was the position that they were happy with. But as we went around and talked to people door to door, letting them know that that was going to be potentially an industrial estate, they were happy to sign the petition and were happy to go with the proposed development of a residential estate moving in there. I guess most of the conversation that we had on that day and most of the feedback that came back was, why would people want an industrial estate, or why would an industrial estate be put in that position? We have Redlands Business Park, 600 metres down the road. They have four stages of development. They're still only in stage two and they can't sell that out. The land that is next to us, they have tried to sell it as industrial and they had very little luck. For an industrial estate, it's better to have a big industrial estate where people can, you know, communicate and trade with each other. A simple, isolated, small industrial estate in amongst real estate in a residential area simply makes no sense, in my opinion. In summary, the local community that I personally met with and spent hours discussing this estate with, they're vehemently against an industrial estate going in there. They walk their kids to school along that road. They walk their dogs in the afternoon. They walk and jog with their families. They'd much rather do that in keeping with the local area, the trees, the bush, the residential estate, rather than big tilt concrete sheds that are around. So I look forward to hearing from your decision today. I hope that you're able to make a decision that's in keeping with what we have found the community wants. But thank you for your time, thank you for your understanding, and have a great afternoon. And morning.
Thanks, Mr. Rugget. Thank you. Any other speakers? No? There being none, I'll move that we resume our meeting proceedings. I move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Tolte. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. In regards to?
This petition.
I think we discussed that yesterday, that will be received by the Office of CEO, and we didn't need to actually move a motion at this point.
Okay, so I don't speak to it or anything like that?
No. That was discussed yesterday at our pre-general, I think, Councillor Gollo.
Right.
Moving on to our petitions and presentations, which is the next item on the agenda. I haven't been advised of any petitions or presentations. And so, therefore, we'll move on to the order of business. I have been advised that there might be a couple of items that, considering there's interest in the gallery, to move forward in the agenda. Councillor Mitchell, were you going to ask for item 11.3.4 to be moved forward?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move motion that item 11.3.4, MCU 013600, 4547 North Street, Cleveland, be brought forward in the agenda to be discussed as the first item of business.
Just before I get you to move that, did you want to bring forward item 11.3.4 at the same time and move that in one motion? You happy with that?
You mean my?
Yes.
11.3.3, well, I was going to ask to bring it forward, Madam Mayor, but I, not knowing that it was going to be brought forward, I think Mr. Booker's left the chamber.
Oh, okay,
and
right.
I don't know that there's anyone else here from the community at the moment.
Okay, all right.
From Redland Bay, so it'll be fine.
All right.
Thank you.
So you're moving a motion to bring forward 11.3.4, Councillor Mitchell. That's moved. Seconded. Seconded, Councillor Golle. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried, with the exception of Councillor Hughes voting in the negative. Okay. Just before we get onto the reports, Council, so we'll bring that forward to the beginning of the agenda, Liz. Item 10 is just a reminder of your material, personal interest and conflict of interest under the responsibilities outlined in the Local Government Act 2009, councillors. The summary of those responsibilities are listed in your agenda. So moving then straight on to 11.3.4, do we have a mover for that motion, councillors? I think Councillor Mitchell indicated he was going to move that one. Move Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell? Or have you... Yeah?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This development, it was pre-existing approval, and I think my assessment of it is the officers and the applicants have done a pretty decent job of the negotiations. There were some resident concerns. I said we had three. It was publicly notified, and there were three resident concerns brought forward, and I absolutely acknowledge that, and we'll speak to some of the items. The eucalyptus trees on site, there's certainly going to be a loss of two, and they will be replanted. And I'd like to think that we could do that in with some science, maybe with some of the koala tracking around and look for suitable location. It's also important to note that three other eucalyptus trees on site are deemed to be protected. So that's good news for all of us as well. I note some of the other concerns was around the heritage listed banyan tree and indeed the vistas and the Grandview Hotel structure itself. And the reports are quite complimentary towards the development in that way as well. The vistas are protected, and certainly the new development that is before us today is very sensitive to that tree, and I'm very happy to see that. The height of the building, of course, is of one conjecture, but it is generally in keeping, and the design elements around that top floor being set back certainly reduced the bulk of the building significantly to both the residents on one side, the hotel on the other. From North Street, it's beautifully screened by the tree and also set back from GJ Walter Park quite a way. So I think they've done quite a good job there. The parking is generous and a lot of it's underground, and the design features and the quality of the goods is high. So there was also mentioned around the site cover is significantly less than what is allowed. It is an expected use in the area and of the density expected. So while I absolutely acknowledge some of the concerns, I think they've been well addressed, and certainly I'll be supporting this application. Thanks.
Speakers against? Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it looks great, I'll be honest with you. They've done what I think you should do as good development, bring it forward from the tree. We lose a couple of eucalypts, I think we can live with that. But I have a problem with, and I recognise, it's complied, but it's actually inconsistent in height. It's a three-storey area. It's got a three-storey approval at the moment since 2007. The maximum overall height in that area is 13 metres. I'm happy to look at things a bit, but we're talking 17.3 metres. We're talking stories have jumped from 3 to 5 stories. Mm-hmm. And the further you go up the hill line, the idea is to keep them lower so that the buildings don't dominate it. And if you have a look, even on the workshop we were given, the view from going up towards North Street and the northwest perspective view is that's the view, councillors. That's the view. That's the view. Stands out a little bit. That's all. I'm happy to give this a preliminary approval with 4 stories. I think they've done a great work. Car parks, every car, can't take away from it. Six next to the Grandview, I think it's sensitive to that. But I think 4 stories is quite enough there, and I'm happy to give this. If it goes down, I'll be moving a preliminary approval. And they address S1 and 2.1 of the scheme, and I think I could support that.
Speakers for, Councillor Tolte.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Like a lot of people, I think when you first see a development like this, and if you've been around the area a long time, you do take a bit of a sit back and go, oh, that seems quite big. But looking at all of the detail and looking at the site coverage at 38%, I think the community is practical and sensible when it comes to getting a better outcome. And in order to protect that very, very large historic tree out the front, you need a smaller footprint on that block. And by going higher, they've achieved a smaller footprint. So, you know, there's always a trade-off. And to go back down to three stories means a larger footprint. It means more likelihood that that tree will die in the longer term. And I think that the community would value keeping that heritage tree and that vista along the front road of the development and in front of the grand view more than they would be concerned about a setback extra area on the top of the building, which you actually can't see from the ground because of the way it's been designed architecturally. So I think that it's a sensible outcome to achieve better outcomes in the long term for the community. And I think once you get past that, a lot of people would like to live there. It looks very nice.
Speaker against? I just want to see if there's a speaker against first. That's Councillor Hughes.
Thank you. I too am concerned about the inconsistent use with the height. I think that we have been told, and the notes say you can go maybe up to 10% more, which would be 14.3 metres. This proposal is 17.3 metres. It's just too jolly high, and I won't support it. Thank you.
Speaker four, Councillor Hewlett.
It's regrettable that the two eucalypt trees are going to go, but that would have happened even if this was a less high development. I'm more of a supporter of infill than I am of greenfield development, and I think the allowance of this extra... This is an upmarket development in an infill area. I support it because it looks good. Basement parking is not cheap. It's going to be an upmarket development. I think it's good for the area. It's residential development where we want it, close to centres. So I'm going to support it. A little bit of height difference doesn't really concern me a great deal. The saving of that banyan tree is an enormous concern to me. So the fact that the developers have gone out of their way, they've got plenty of open space, they've got massive parks across the road, plenty of parking, they've done everything right, ticked all my boxes, so I'm going to support it.
Speaker against? Question, Councillor Bogliari? Sorry, speak. But if you don't mind, Councillor Bogliari, I'll just... Councillor Bishop?
Thank you very much. Similar to I think all the speakers previously, and acknowledging the developer and the application has addressed many of the issues that are important. It is an area that has a great deal of significance. It abuts the PDA area, so it's in many ways understandable the direction and sensitivity that I think people have worked, certainly officers and the developer and local councillor have worked to try and come up with a product that I think is going to be interesting to the market. I do believe, though, the height issue is a bit of a concern and significant enough in my mind for us to just err on the side of encouraging this sort of development as we are focusing in the Cleveland area. I think that sort of density close to the train line, close to the various amenities that are required and the infrastructure that are here, just means that I think this is a little bit further out. It's a character precinct, a character area precinct, and I do think that the imposition of that height along Shore Street will be just a little bit too far. Stepping down the hill, I think, as Councillor Elliott has proposed, I would be supportive of a reduction in that height, keeping a lot of the good benefits that have been achieved through development, and would be supportive of that. This just does feel a little bit beyond that threshold, though, for my mind. Thank you.
Councillor Bogliari? Oh, sorry, Speaker 4. Sorry, Councillor Golley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'll try and keep it very brief. What I'm about to say, I hope I don't offend anyone. Thornlands is riddled with small lots and townhouses and units, and there's more coming. I would rather see this type of quality development in our CBD area, and I'm not opposed to it going to the height it is. If I can attract more people as a councillor to live within the CBD and work and play and utilise the facilities here, rather than having fresh greenfield sites developed into townhouses, which adds to congestion, where there's 50% of them are rentals, and you've got anything up to four or five cars parked out the front, I'd sooner see Cleveland go up and be a little bit more vibrant with its density here, so that jobs are created centrally as well. So I'm going to support this in the hope that it will minimise what I perceive as the riddling of Thornlands with what I perceive to be unnecessary small lots and townhouses when they should be brought into the CBD. I just don't think it's necessary to have greenfield sites developed that way out there. It should be done into the CBD, so I'll be supporting this.
Thanks, Councillor Golay. Councillor Gleeson, speaker against?
No, form, Mayor.
Okay, in which case I'll allow Councillor Boglari, if I may, to ask some questions, because I have been following standing orders. So, Councillor, would you like to get some clarity? I'll just double check with Councillor Edwards if he'd like to speak as well.
No, I'm just in favour.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy. Sorry.
Thank you, through you. I was just wondering if there's an officer from DA here. Thank you, David. Whoop, where are chairs? Oh, no, you can sit in Mark. You can. I was just wondering, I'm off the top of your head, if you can just give a quick appraisal of the differences between the approval that's already there and this one. A great concern to us was the heritage value of the Grandview next door. Also, a concern of mine was the stepping back from the actual Grandview. Noise as well, because I certainly hope the live music continues there. It's a great social place for over 50s on a Sunday afternoon. And also, though, that banyan tree. That banyan tree was a major concern of mine. We all love it. It's a significant tourist spot as well. There's always someone stopping to take photos of it whenever you go past. And as Councillor Tolte alluded to earlier, this has been through negotiated conversations with councillors to actually get a better outcome to address those situations, those concerns that we had previously. If you could just please give me some clarification on the noise, the stepping back from the heritage, and the banyan tree, please.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari, and good morning, councillors. I think, first of all, what I'll do is just refer you to Attachment 7, which is appended to the report. That gives you details of the existing approval. What you can see when you look at the site layout for the approval, Building 1 is actually located very close to that banyan tree. The current proposal actually removes any building that close to the banyan tree, and essentially it replicates the footprint of Building 2 in the existing approval. So the current application has significantly moved development away from that heritage listed banyan tree. Turning to noise, again, councillors, I think you'll note in the conditions we are requiring that acoustic impacts are dealt with so that this development can live and co-locate with the Grandview Hotel. Looking at the question of height compared to the existing approval, again, if you flick over in Attachment 7 to the sections, which I think are about the fifth page down.
Yeah,
next one, please. Keep going. That's the one. Yep, sorry. Yep, just going back one, please, Liz. This section here shows councillors the existing approval, and what we can see there is building two on the site plan is on the left, building one on the right, so the banyan tree would be on the right-hand side of this picture. The existing approval is actually four storeys for building two at a height of around 13 metres. This current proposal does increase that height. It does go to 17.3. The report to council notes that as officers we say that is a conflict with the planning scheme. That conflict is arguable because the overall outcomes do seek mid-rise development, which is defined as 3 to 5 storeys. We also note that there are a number of approvals in this locality which have varying heights up to 6 and 8 storeys, I believe. We've also noted that really the character of this area is changing. The PDA, the priority development area, does anticipate buildings of between 7 and 10 storeys in close proximity. So for all those reasons, we've recommended that council approve this development.
To answer your questions, Councillor
Yes,
O'Brien.
Thank you.
Any further comments? No? I'm just going to the next speaker if you want feel free to comment.
Look, I'm a stickler, as everyone knows, for sticking to planning schemes. I think I'm known for being a bit too harsh sometimes. In this case, though, I'm actually going to agree to the approval of this application, given that it's already got an application which is approved on the site. And one of my major concerns to this area, I love the heritage of Redlands, but I have voted against other applications in this area which are going to decimate that heritage concept, I'm afraid. So for me, it's going back to that banyan tree, and this one does give that tree more of a chance of survival, moving away from it, and it is a upmarket development for that area. So today I will be voting to in favour of this one.
Thanks, Councillor Borglari. Councillor Gleeson, you'd like to speak to it?
Thanks, Mayor. I'm going to support it as well. I'm probably going to echo what has been said by others already. This is a really nice looking development. We've all had reports during the planning scheme progress that we're undersupplied with attached dwellings in the Redlands. I think this is a perfect place to put it. Environmentally, it's a pretty hard fight to come at councillors who support this decision if it means ultimately protecting that tree. And we've all seen here over the last couple of years trees that were designed to be kept that have somehow been removed through development, whether it be through construction works, the trees died off, root damage, things like that. This ultimately gives better protection to that tree, and I think if anyone is out there concerned about that tree, they would have to put their hand up and support this. It looks like a beautiful development. The developers have really taken into consideration car parking requirements and gone well over and above what would normally be required. The underground car parking takes the cars, the parking view from the street, and improves that amenity. I have little concerns, but we can't control it. I have little concerns about old versus new with right beside the Grandview Hotel, but they're separate blocks of land. We can't regulate that, so that's nothing that we can get ourselves too involved in. Overall, it's a great-looking development, very upmarket. I would rather see an upmarket development there overlooking the waterfront than a Stackham and Packham situation in Capalaba. So I absolutely support it. I think it's a great idea. I thank the developers, the property owners, for their consideration and their negotiations and time with council officers and councillors, and I'm happy to put my hand up for this one.
Thanks, Councillor Leeson. Before I hand back to sum up, I'd just also like to take this opportunity to talk about the relationship between officers and the applicants in regards to coming up with a proposal that is satisfactory for our community. I think I would say that when you make the comparisons, just even in the documents, when you compare the first approval to this approval, it's an outstanding improvement and certainly lifts it to another level. And being able to work with the officers and to achieve this outcome, it has been a great achievement, I think, for the city. And I actually think that the applicants arguably have been model applicants in that sense, that they've been prepared to listen and prepared to adjust their design to make sure that it fits in with the community around it. And as you drive down Shore Street now, you'll see that at the same level, if not at a higher level, above sea level, you know, a number of six-storey units, and the area is changing, and that is something that some people embrace and others obviously don't. So I wanted to take that opportunity to say thank you for that effort between those working on this particular application. Also, I think it's really important to note that there are people in around this table that have supported Toondah Harbour and, in fact, even talked about a no limit to height in order to be able to get the outcomes that we have. And so to be that pedantic about a height that actually meets the overall outcomes of the scheme would see us come undone, and all the good work that's been invested by officers to have this outcome also lost. So more than happy to support this application. It's a distinct improvement, not only environmentally, from a heritage perspective, if you look at it, it does exactly what a heritage architect would ask it to do, and it meets the future needs of our community and actually sets a high-class development proposal, which is exactly what we're trying to encourage from other developers across the region. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Mitchell to sum up.
You've summed up beautifully for me, Mayor. But yes, I'd also, firstly, I'd just like to acknowledge those members of the public that did write in when it was publicly notified, and I think their concerns have been heard and largely addressed. So that's great. That's democracy, and thank my colleagues that also debate this. I think this is a great example moving forward of how, if we allow the flexibility that's within our planning scheme to work, this is where we get better outcomes. I mean, just take the heat out of things, work cooperatively. You're not going to be 100% happy, but gee, I think this is a great example moving forward of that cooperation. And to tie the hands of our officers and our applicants by expecting to be 100%, where 8 out of 10 is a pretty damn good mark, mostly, I think we get lesser outcomes. And if this does go down, I don't know how everyone's going to vote. I think the original design was a lesser outcome. So, again, well done, everyone. I think it is a great example moving forward. And yes, I'd like to move the motion.
Thanks, councillors. With that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? So the motion is carried. Carried by Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Tolte, Gleeson, Edwards and Williams. Those against was Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes and Councillor Bishop. Thank you, councillors. Okay, moving back to the regular order of our agenda, our next item is the review of our corporate policy, concealed leaks policy, and I think, Councillor Elliott, you had indicated that you would move that.
Yes.
So I'll give you a chance to get to your agenda. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, just a little bit. Thanks, Mayor. We've reviewed the policy and on page 5, councillors, and to the public. We've changed the defined calculation that creates consistency across the applications. A number of the reading periods have been taken into consideration for calculating the remission has been reduced from 2 reading periods to 1. The time allowed for customers to make an application has been increased from 4 months to 5 months. To apply a minimum remission cap that takes into consideration the cost to process the application, where the remission is calculated and is less than $35, no remission would apply, excluding eligible pension where the minimum cap will be $25. Photographic evidence where applicable, where available, may be supplied to support the application. And removal of statement 12, which referred to the corporate policy, POL 3114, exceptional circumstances waiver, waiver policy is customers automatically have the right to apply for consideration under this policy.
Speakers against? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 11.1.2, it's the financial reporting framework policy and related party disclosures guideline. Councillor Mitchell, I believe you were going to move that. So moved. The officer's recommendation and seconded by Councillor Hewlett. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Very briefly, Madam Mayor. This is really addressing an accounting standard, the old AASB 124, related party disclosures. It's a new requirement for councils and will require this process to be implemented whereby information can be gathered, assessed and summarised for disclosure purposes. Thank you.
Any speakers against?
Comment?
It boils down to just a form and you've got to tell everybody about your rallies, that's it.
Oh, yeah, this is an accounting standard requirement and it's happening across the board. So we're just basically duplicating what we already do and a little bit more. So it's just for transparency and to be recorded in an annual report. Comment, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We all know that accountability and transparency is important, but there's also a fine line between the invasion of privacy of people who are not necessarily directly related to what their relative or their friend's job is. And, it's one of those things where we're really trading off giving away private information of people who are not directly involved in what we do in order to prove to people that we are open and transparent. And I have a level of discomfort with that. I think it's unfair to those people. By the same token, of course, we have to make sure that things are open and transparent. So we're a bit between a rock and a hard place from my perspective. And I also have a problem with the fact from a political perspective that we already are open and transparent and have to make those declarations under law. And to duplicate the process again, it is just more red tape and a bit stupid. But thank you.
Just to clarify some of that, because it's not just about political representatives, but did you want to comment,
yeah.
Bill?
Having probably just, Julie, just to, Councillor Tolte, sorry, just to, sorry, thanks, Deb. To give you, this has been in the private enterprise for a long time, and from where I've come from, commercial stuff. Just want to draw you back to the standard and the objective, which is a federal requirement. The objective of this standard is to ensure that an entity's financial statements contains the disclosures necessary to draw the attention to the possibility that its financial position and profit or loss may have been affected by the existence of related parties and by transactions and outstanding balances, including commitments with such parties. So it is actually about the disclosure of related parties. So if you have done business with a corporation, and a lot of this is around shareholding transactions between shareholders, and you see very spectacular cases of some of those. So this is bringing the local government in line with that. I don't share your concerns of privacy. I've been doing these previously, occupations, never had an issue with it. So again, it is part of the Act. It has to be done. And if people do party and choose to transact with councils the same as they do, and they're a related party, it should be disclosed under the Act. So just wanted to put that on the public record, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Andrew.
It may be quick. It is a comment. And it's just simply to do with the fact that as former CEO, Bill Lyon just mentioned in relation to that, it's bringing us into standard for the business sector. That was something that you would not want to shy away from. And just to remind Councillor Tolte that we who run for public office, we don't just do it for, the fun of it. It's we actually make laws. We make laws collectively. Now, if there's not an extra responsibility on our part to be accountable and to frame up the various parties that we may associate with or members of the organisation, which is what this is doing, I think we're kidding ourselves that the community is not looking for that sort of clarity, and I think they should. And in fact, at the next general meeting, I'll make a presentation about a conference that I went to recently, Integrity Australia, about the importance of clarity and certainty for our community, that everything that can be done and should be done is done, to give that confidence to the public that we who make laws abide by them.
This is really quite a straightforward decision, I thought. But we have some more comments. Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mayor. I'm with Councillor Tolte. I think it's just duplication and I think it's just rubbish. We've got to account for our and declare our shares in our councillor declarations anyway. This is just doubling up for the sake of bureaucracy. As far as accountability goes, absolutely. bring on accountability, but let's also account for who we do business with in the community, the community groups, the little pseudo-groups.
Okay, Councillor, that's enough. All right. Councillor?
Well, let's declare that.
Okay, Councillor.
Let's declare that, because that has a big Councillor bearing on how Gleeson. Voting is taken here in the chamber.
Councillor Gleeson, it's your last warning, and I'll ask you to leave the room. I know you've been gunning for that. So turn off your microphone. Thank you very much, and behave.
Point of order.
Yeah, well, I think the point of order has been called.
Community groups are people too.
So thank you. That's enough, Councillor Gleeson. We don't need any further commentary. Are there any other comments from councillors, seeing this is such an important... just quickly, this is a requirement under federal law for us to do this. Yes, we do have a certain level of scrutiny as elected representatives, as do the officers of this organisation, as do officers of any corporation. I appreciate that there will be people in the political world that will try to make something different of it that they may do in the private world, but my view is that you're doing it once, you're doing it twice, it doesn't matter. It's very easy to duplicate those forms, and it does bring us into line and gives us, you know, for perception's sake, if nothing else, even greater transparency. So with that, I'll hand back to who is doing this one? Councillor Mitchell, was it you? Councillor Mitchell, you want to start off?
Happy to move the motion as the officers recommend.
Thank you. No summing up required, it's all been done. I'll put the motion, those in favour, those against. How are you going there, Councillor Edwards?
Aye.
Motion's carried unanimously, thank you, councillors. Okay, next item is the updated computer software treatment. Councillor Hughes, you were going to move that?
I am indeed, thank you, Mayor. Moving 11.1.3, updated computer software treatment guideline. This has been prepared by our financial team. I do have a question for it, but I'll move the motion
You'll need to move the motion and have it seconded first, Councillor. So it's been seconded by Councillor Golay. Over to you, Councillor Hughes, if you'd like to talk to it, and you perhaps ask your question at the same time.
Thank you very much. It was a very good report from our Chief Financial Officer and Finance team. Going to page 13, where it refers to the consultation phase of this. The update and review of this guideline included consultation with various council officers from the Financial Services Group. My question would be that this is a computer software guideline, and where did our IM department stand in this? I think it would be relevant that they should have been included.
Deb.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To you, the Councillor, thank you for the question. You're 100% correct that the IM group was consulted. However, this document is more around how we account for software and not use it operationally. So I was asked the same question by the Acting General Manager, Org Services. We did consult with information management, and it included, you'll see further in the document, linkage to some of its own documentation. But this document is really more around how we put through the books some of our software, so some of our intangible assets, as opposed to how we use software operationally in the organisation.
So it's like buying a piece of furniture and how you actually account for that in your ledgers. That's more why it's sort of more in the finance department rather than the IM. Yeah. Okay. Any speakers against? There being none, I'll put the motion. You don't need to sum up, Councillor, because no one else spoke. Those in favour?
All done.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, but Councillor Mitchell and Councillor Bishop have left the room. Okay, moving on to item 11.1.4. Councillor Tolte, I believe you were going to move this item, which is the Emergency Management Levy Return Contractual Payments Delegation to the Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the motion as recommended by the officers.
So moved. A seconder for that, councillors? Councillor Hughes, would you like to speak to it? Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a matter of housekeeping. Through our rates notices, we collect the fire and emergency services levy on behalf of the state government, and then we have a delegation to the Chief Executive Officer to then pay that money back up to the state government annually as required. And so this simply authorises him to make those payments from council, having collected the money and then giving it to the state.
begrudgingly, but we do it anyway. Any speakers against, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. Councillor Mitchell and Councillor Bishop have left the room. Item 11.1.5. Councillor Gleeson, I believe you're going to move that.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.1.5, which is the March 2017 monthly financial report.
Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Hughes.
Thanks, Mayor.
Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Once again, the financial team, terrific job. Great work. Every general meeting, Deb gets a mention for the great team that she leads, and this is no exception. Well done, Deb. Mayor, we've met most of our targets, and 10 out of the 11 key targets once again. And we also note that we've got a review coming up in a workshop of our 16-17 figures. So I'll look forward to seeing that. But that's about it.
Any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just Councillor a comment and a question through you, if I may, to Peter Best. Just when we look, Peter, I'm sorry this is without notice, but just in relation to the capital works expenditure, we've expended $42 million so far. We're projected to get to $90,400. Just to reconcile for ourselves at this point of the year, that seems like a double the spend. Can you just give us a quick update as to where that's at?
Certainly, Councillor, through the Mayor. $90.5 million is the total CapEx budget for the business. That not only includes infrastructure activity, but also the activity in customer and community, ICT and the like. The budget target for infrastructure at the moment is around $68 million. We have been going through a number of reviews with the PMO, looking at the deliverability of that target, and we'll conclude that activity this week, and we're presenting to Council in a workshop next week. $68 million, and I looked a couple of my officers in the eye this morning, they assure me is deliverable, and with that, that's saying $68 million is deliverable. There will be carry forward into next year for projects that are in work. Okay.
Thank you, Peter. Councillor Hughes, you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I have a question for our Chief Financial Officer. Again, thanks. Page 18, Deborah. The revaluation of water and wastewater assets. I just note that that's starting in March 2017. Is this something we do yearly? Could you just expand that a little bit for me? Thank you.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Madam Mayor, to you, Councillor. Thanks again for the question. With respect to our infrastructure assets and all our asset classes, we disclose in our annual report that we do look at those annually in accordance with the accounting standards. They're getting a good airtime today, so please for that. So there's an accounting standard, AASB 116, property, plant and equipment, that requires councils and all entities to look at their assets and value them. We do that on an annual basis, but we do it comprehensively every 5 years. So this year it's the turn of the water and wastewater assets. They were last comprehensively and independently revalued on the return from All Connects Water on the 1st of July 2012. So we're now at that 5-year stage, as we've put in our annual report. And we started in March, Councillor, because the numbers are effective as at 30 June, but we started early to make sure that when we hit 30 June, we've got the right numbers in the books in a timely fashion, so we can wrap up those financials and close out the annual report as soon as practicable.
I've got two other people who'd like to speak. First, Peter, and then Peter Best, and then Bill.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just going back to the CapEx question, the $90.5 million included the $11 million allowance for the CIP program. I'll be very honest, that program has underperformed this year in terms of projects being allocated to it. Next week, when we come to you with a workshop around CapEx, I'll be putting a proposition to you to, I'll be polite, downscale that, downscale that program.
Thank you.
to enable it to be more deliverable in a financial year.
Thanks, Peter. And back to revaluation of assets. Bill?
Yes, sorry. Councillor Hughes, if you have a look in the audit report, I think it was tabled last month or last general meeting, the audit committee deals with those structures and which ones are going to be done. So once again, I'll just do the plug on behalf of your new CEO. If you can attend the audit committees, I know you have very busy schedules. They do outline there. We've got our independents, QAO and Bentley sit there. So we have a schedule in place around which ones we're going to reval. That's where the detail is pretty much hammered out. So if you would like that detailed understanding, firstly have a look at the minutes. That will give you the structure. And then secondly, come along to the audit committees because you can have your input there with the experts.
And just while we're on that topic, as those revaluations come forward, it does actually provide us challenges as to how we manage our operating position. So sometimes it's not all about the cash in and out of the door, but that does affect how we account for our expenses as well. So it is included and it can push us very quickly into a deficit position by those revaluations. So, and that's to do with the depreciation. Another question?
For Liz from a minuting point of view, can you just note that this report has not got the numbers 11.1.5 on that? And when our minutes are done, can that be corrected? Thanks on the report out of the CEO office. And at the top, yeah, it's just very small, but it just helps with the minutes when we're going through the minutes. Thanks. I just note that at last meeting, I had asked a question to Peter Best without notice, and he had taken it literally on notice. I'd like it just recorded that Peter did come back to me, and he had given me an outline on where we were with our capital. And, Paul, you've just asked the question, Councillor Bishop, that's been answered because I was going to reiterate and go through that again. So I'll let you off a second time. Thank you, Peter. You've done it already. Thanks.
Thank you. You had a good run, that report. That's good. It's probably the most you've ever spoken to our financials, Councillors. That's very good. So, Councillors, are there any other comments? If I could move back to the to Councillor Gleeson to sum up.
Thanks, ma'am. Nothing to add.
I'll put the motion then, Councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. On to our Audit Committee meeting report, Councillors, 11.2.1. Councillor Gleeson, as Chair, would you like to move that?
Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to move item 11.2.1, which is a report of the Audit Committee meeting for the 16th of March 2017.
So moved. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
No, thank you.
Are there any comments, Councillors, that you'd like to raise? There being none, it's all been read and noted. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. I'll give you a chance to find your page in the agenda. Sorry if I'm going too fast. 11.2.2, Councillors, is the Australian Local Government Association National General Assembly 2017. Councillor Boglari, would you like to move that motion with the changes of the councillors who have nominated to go?
Yes, I'd like to move item 11.2.2, the Australian Local Government Association National General Assembly 2017 Officers' Recommendation, with the inclusion of Councillor Paul Golay and Councillor Tracy Hughes as our representatives who will be attending along with the Mayor.
Thank you. Is that that's seconded by Councillor Elliott? Councillors, are there any other comments to be made about that? Any speakers against or for or whatever? Nope. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.2.3, Councillor Hewlett, I believe you are moving that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move 11.2.3,
amend the local rules making process. Move Councillor Hewlett, seconded Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hewlett?
Make sure that legislation requirements are met. It has consistency with state laws and local
transparency, community interest and consultation, good governance and best practice processes, and meeting standards set by the state government.
Any speakers against, councillors? Speaker against, Councillor Tolte?
Well, not so much speaker against, Madam Mayor, but I'm a little concerned that we got this report so late and the local law amendments are not as... I thought this was part of that.
No, this is the process. This is 11.2.3.
Oh, okay, sorry, go on. Okay.
Okay.
No, no problem.
Comment? No. 11.2.3. This is about the process that we go through. I think I saw Graham in the room. There you are, Graham, just in case. A fallback guy there. Councillor Hughes, have you a comment or you want to speak?
Just a comment with these local laws. I just want to clarify, in the steps that you go through, you're able to purchase these local laws from the counter here. And I questioned that, thinking that perhaps we had a charge for someone to come through and purchase a local law, understanding we're just recouping our photocopying, our printing charges, so it's a very nominal fee. Thank you. I was a little concerned that if someone came up to the counter, they would be charged for that.
Normally, those who want to know about our local law, it's too late. Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. And I don't know that there's any comment required, Graham, but that's just a standard fee that we have in regards to...
Online.
Yeah, they are free for those who want to go. Yeah.
I was just going to add, if I may, through you, Madam Chair, that sometimes wading through local laws, it might be worthwhile paying the fee so officers can find out where it is that you need the information.
True.
But it's complex. But, yeah, but it is all free online. So
I'd like to add that... Since we've gone through our local law amendment process and model laws, we have far less and they're far easier to read. So congratulations to the officers and the community for embracing that. So with that, if there's no further discussion, councillors, I could hand back if you like, but I don't think there's any summing. Would you like to sum up, Councillor Hewlett?
I'll just move the officer's recommendation, if that's okay.
Sure. Moved and seconded already, so I'll put the motion, those in favour. Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we get on to item... 11.2.4. Councillor Elliott, you indicated that you would move this.
Yes, thanks, Mayor. Item 11.2.4, proposal to make subordinate local law. Move the officer's recommendation be accepted.
Moved, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Foglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. This is a simple process. We're going to withdraw subordinate local law 1.4. Installation of advertising devices 2015. It covers the temporary advertising devices, and because the new city plan advertising devices can't be in that, we have to make a new local law to do that. So we will be doing that soon, and then we'll be going out to public consultation.
So this is really just adopting it to go to public consultation, so you're clear on that. Councillor Tolte, you speaking against it?
Madam Mayor, can I move a motion to leave it lay on the table? I really feel like I need more time to go through this in detail before we approve it. We only got it yesterday afternoon, and
we've had workshops.
We did work.
Well, I know we workshopped, and it's a result of workshops.
Well, that's a procedural motion. I feel comfortable moving forward with it, but there is a procedural motion. On the procedural motion, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If we can get some clarification, because this is now a trigger to be able to go out to consultation, if we could just have the description as to what's involved in that, so that that might be an opportunity, Councillor Tolte, to address some of the...
If you do it now, it won't do it.
I might
go back.
Well, certainly the resolution does actually talk about that process, but I do want to note that there's no dates mentioned, although we have established some dates for local law consultation, which... My understanding will be it starts on the 2nd of May. I'm looking for a nod at the back, yep. 2nd of May till the 22nd of May. So we can add that to the motion if you wish, councillors, but we have a procedural motion on the books now, so that lay on the table. Can I... you don't need a seconder for that, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Yeah.
Should I... she's asked that it lay on the table. It's like a deferral. That's a procedural motion. I'll refer to our new general manager. But
I thought we had a motion already sitting there.
Yeah, we do.
So there's the procedural motion.
You can't. She can't ask a motion to stay lay on the table unless it's been
unless
moved and seconded.
I would have thought the move and second would have to be asked to withdraw before the procedural window. Okay.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Only my first meeting today, but I have got my policy document here and my standing orders, and it does say that's correct, that a procedural motion doesn't need a seconder, but it would need support to be carried. And it's to ask for an item to be laid on the table, it can be done at today's meeting, and it could be dealt with later today, or it could be dealt with at a subsequent meeting. So that's what's being asked of you today, I think, is to let it lay on the table till most likely the next meeting, or adopt it today.
Okay, on the procedural motion. So that's in your standing orders, councillors.
I'm just trying to get my head around it. So if we let this lay on the table today, does that hinder any community consultation or public consultation
yes,
on this matter from here on in? Okay.
It'll push it out because I think our next meeting will be like the 10th of May or something. So it'll have to push the consultation out. Anyway, I did actually put that motion. I'll just get that double-checked if I may. I'll put the motion for it to lay on the table. Those in favour? Those against?
No.
Okay, that motion is lost. Those four were Councillor Hughes, Cholte, Gleeson, Bishop. Those against were Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Golay, Hewlett, Elliott and Williams. Thank you. Now we're back to the motion on the book.
And Edwards.
Sorry, Mark. My apologies.
Aye.
So back to the motion. Now, Councillor Bishop, would you want to speak? A question? Can I just ask, we had a speaker for. Any speakers against? Okay, just a question. Thanks, Councillor Bishop.
Just a question. I know Councillor Elliott mentioned that it's procedural. Just want to clarify any issues that have come up as a... that are significantly different to the previous. Just if
is
I
that
could
Paul
ask,
or Paul or Graham?
That's partly just addressing the fact that we've only just received this report.
I do reiterate, councillors, we did actually workshop.
We have workshopped it. I just want to make sure that what's in this document that we've received now is the same as what we had discussed. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question, Councillor Bishop. The document is the same, basically. I do apologise for the delay. The delay was in relation to the review from our external solicitors, from King & Co, so we were given some timeframes for them to return the document. It came back later than we are. And the reason that we've continued on with this is because of the relationship with this to the planning scheme. And the adoption of that. So there are some time constraints for us to get this local law out for consultation and that feedback and process. So yeah, my apologies for the time frame, but that was the cause of it.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Councillor Boglari?
I was just going to ask Paul through you, if a councillor, the ones that did want further time to read it, if they did end up having a concern, they could put it in during public consultation period like any other member of the public?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, it was Councillor Tolte.
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. It's a question. Follows on from Councillor Bishop's question about what's different about these requirements to the requirements that are already in place. I don't recall in the workshop talking about motor vehicle signs. And there are some details there I'm not sure about. Is that the same as what's currently required of people with motor vehicle signs, or is it different? It requires that you have a permit from the Chief Executive Officer. I don't recall that.
I've got a nod from the back of the room. Graham's probably familiar with local law compliance.
Changed at all, but it is
essentially the transfer of the permanent signs out of the planning scheme as they currently are. So there's a slight tweak on a couple of definitions, but the actual assessment criteria and categories are the same. So we're basically doing a ministry change as opposed to anything more significant to that. So I'm happy to clarify any particular concerns, but there is no real change other than it's a local law assessment process as opposed to a claim assessment process for permanent signs. That's probably the simplest way to say.
So just to be clear, we were regulating through the planning scheme. And with the changes where we actually agreed the planning scheme would be a document that deals with development, we decided that some areas would be better placed in a local law, and this is one of those. So it's pretty much a direct transfer, which means that people don't have to go through, you know, a huge planning assessment for what could be a simple sign.
Well, that would be my question, Madam Mayor, because they didn't have to go through a planning assessment for a temporary sign, and they do seem to go, well, certainly for a sign on a motor vehicle. From the perspective of the user of these laws, is their process different than what it was previously?
Graham?
Just to that, there's basically for motor vehicle signs, there's no change. So they've always been temporary signs. So the criteria is exactly the same, so there's no difference there. The regulation of motor vehicle signs is always a little bit controversial, just based on their state rules as well that apply to it. But certainly our local law criteria are exactly the same. Yep.
Okay. While I've still got Paul in the room, I just wanted to ask a question of the officers in regards to a slight amendment to include the dates of consultation in the resolution. If there's any issues with that, it is normal that we would come out and stipulate that time frame. And I'd have to double check that the mover and second will be happy to add a point to that. Is that okay? I think it's just clear to the public then when it will be out there if they, like Councillor Hughes, diligently read every letter and word of our minutes. So if I could just maybe ask for someone to move an amendment from the floor that includes those dates. Could you do that, Councillor Bishop, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor, quite happily. I'd just like to move the proposed dates be included. I think they were suggested as the 2nd of May and the 22nd of May.
Correct.
If we can just include that as an item 5, item 3.
Six.
Item 6. I'll correct my eyes and I'm by the 50.
Consultation will occur between. No, don't change it. That's the same thing. I was intended to live.
Pending a visit to the optometrist, I'm very happy with what's been written up there. Can't see it, but I'm sure
carrots.
I'll move it very happily.
What we'll do is we'll just take we have a mover for an amendment. While that's very clear to you that it's on, it's all good. So we're now taking a vote on that amendment, councillors. It's been moved by Councillor Bishop. Are you all happy with that? Would you just raise your hands? So that's unanimous. So, Councillor Edwards, just so you've heard those dates, between the 2nd of May and the 22nd of May. So I had moved by Councillor Bishop, seconded by Councillor Bogwari. There you go, and it was unanimous. So now we have the full motion before us, councillors. Any further discussion? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors.
No, it's just a question about when they will be posted for people to view. They can access them through the minutes now, but
they'll be on your side, ready for the
thank you.
Okay. On to item section 3.11.3, pardon me, and we have our delegated items for noting. Councillor Tolte, would you like to move 11.3.1, sorry?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd call councillors' attention to item 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority for Category 1, 2 and 3 development applications, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
It's all in the report. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Any questions, councillors? Any comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against, the motion is carried unanimously. Item 11.3.2, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I call councillors' attention to item 11.3.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, as current at the 29th of March 2017, and ask that these be noted.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor. It's in the report.
No other questions, councillors? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
The motion is carried unanimously. On to 11.3.3. Councillor Tolte, I think you were moving an alternative.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.3.3, which is MCU 013561, preliminary approval to vary the effect of the Redlands Planning Scheme and Development Permit for reconfiguration of a lot, 847 to 897 German Church Road, Redland Bay. I have an alternative motion, which councillors are aware of, and officers have provided those conditions there that they would wish to assess. So I'd like to move that motion, please.
Move Councillor Tolte, seconded. Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this relates to the land that's currently zoned light industrial in German Church Road, Redland Bay, that was referred to by a speaker from the public gallery in the meeting this morning. As was noted and has been previously noted by the residents' petition, the land has been zoned light industrial for a long time. The applicants have come forward to request that we look at residential development on that land rather than light industrial development. The land is surrounded by previously developed residential development. It is within a very short walking distance of the Redland Bay State School. And it is my belief that it would be a poorer planning outcome to allow industrial on that block. We have the ability to, at a later date, address the need of industrial elsewhere. And with regard to this particular lot and this particular application, this is a motion that simply gives a preliminary approval. So it says to the applicants that the council is prepared to have residential development on that lot as an improved outcome for the community, and then it sets down a full raft of planning requirements that such a development would have to meet, and that includes all of the things that would normally be required to be assessed for a residential development, including noise acoustics, access to community and open space, appropriate community connection for footpaths, and environmental and other reports. Thank you.
Speaker against? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, ma'am. I can't support that. I think this is planning on the run for me, and I was more than happy, and we've discussed this in a couple of workshops on the planning scheme. This one about, I think it should go through a proper process where we have a major amendment package. It just galls me, I'll be honest with you, that we can change this like that, that we want to do a major amendment package, we'll do public consultation, yada, 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 go and see the minister, yada, yada, yada. I find this is not the way to do it. I support the refusal, don't get me wrong, but certainly that we go through a proper process, we discuss it again, and there is further, councillors have made further comments on the zoning. I don't know why it wasn't picked up in the scheme as far as having industrial in that area, but certainly to just do this on the run, I don't think it addresses the whole issue. Across the road we have light industrial there, doesn't address that issue, so we may drop people into this, and across the road suddenly something happens, and this ain't the answer. This is not the way to do it. I support the refusal, but I certainly support revisiting this block of land in a major impact, which we are going to do on various other things. I've got a little list going, so I think that's the time to do it. Even the preliminary approval, if you look at the lot, could I get the lot layout, please, Liz? I'm looking on 8 of my... Oh, this is the workshop one. Sorry?
It's the first of the attachments. Yeah. I believe it's the first of the attachments. The first of the A3 attachments. The next page is the one you just had. Sorry.
Yeah, the one on the left, and through you, Mayor, to David Jeans, please correct me if I'm wrong at all, David. That's the development they've lodged for the residential development. I think it was mentioned to us yesterday. I'll move this again. The next one will have to be later in the meeting. That we have to have a boundary road. You know, there's got to be a boundary road around there. So this doesn't even... I don't like giving anybody... anything. This is not a good layout. It doesn't address what they should have done, and to just say, well, this is the warehouse line from before, I don't agree. So I think a proper process to go through is to refuse the application, which we rightly can do, the officers have said that, and then we do a proper planning process. I don't have a problem. I'll listen to all arguments as far as that goes. But certainly, I don't agree with the industrial in this area, but I want to address the other side of the road at the same time. The developers can wait. They can wait. There's more than sufficient land in this city zoned, ready to go, going ahead.
Councillor, what's your question for David? You had a question for David Jean?
I just said to David that, correct me if I'm wrong in my statement, that's
on
the boundary road and things like that. So, That's my concern, that we're rushing into this. We don't need to rush into this. We've got sufficient land. We look a bit silly to say up the road in industrial, we're getting rid of industrial, then we're having, we're talking about having industrial elsewhere. So I think we need to do this on a coordinated approach, and I simply won't support it. So I'll be supporting the refusal. I won't be supporting this motion, but I'll certainly, I'm happy to move the refusal, and I'll be supporting it.
Councillor Gleeson, Speaker 4.
Thanks, Mayor. I absolutely support Councillor Tolte's alternative motion. I probably have in Division 9 the largest commercial and industrial areas in the city, and I know what it's like to have conflict between where industrial zones meet up with residential areas. In one particular area in Jones Road in Capalaba, that should never have, for my mind, should never have been zoned industrial. This site here, again, should never have been zoned industrial. I see this as an opportunity for a win-win. It's going to make a lot of residents very, very happy with us. It's going to remove future complaints and problems down the track. Yeah, we need more industrial area in the city, but we don't need it up against residential housing. It's an absolute mismatch. And for my mind, the Boulevard Road is just a bonus. But I think it's crazy to expect residents to be happy to have industrial sheds moving up beside you. And it's great. I know what Councillor Elliott's saying, he wants to see more talk about it and planning, but I'm just going to jump at the opportunity to rezone this back to residential now, because, as I say, I'm fully aware of what that does to residents in Division 9. I don't think Councillor Elliott has an industrial zone in Division 7, but I'll certainly get a lot of complaints from it, so I'm happy to jump on this bandwagon and support Councillor Tolte on this.
I might just, before we get the other speaker against, I might just make sure the officers I know have worked with Councillor Tolte in regards to some of the layout issues that have been mentioned. I don't know, David, if you can just for clarity, because I will just express that the motion... explain that the motion does address some of those inconsistencies that officers identified in regards to the actual application.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This item before Council really requires two decisions to be made. The first is the principle of development, a residential development in an industrial zone. That's the first part of the test that Council has to consider. As officers, we've recommended refusal because we don't believe There's a surplus of industrial land. That said, there is some merit to residential development on this site. So the first question is, do you approve residential development of some form on this site? If council resolves that you do believe this should be a residential use, the second part of the equation is the layout. As officers, if this were a residential zone, we would have certain requirements that we would impose upon an applicant in terms of compliance with the scheme. The applicant in this case hasn't given the information, hasn't provided a layout that we would say complies with the planning scheme. So we would say, if you agree with the principle, residential development, there's still more work to be done on the layout. The conditions that Councillor Tauti has proposed in the alternative motion really address the matters that we as officers would say need to be addressed to demonstrate compliance with the scheme. Those two items together are really option three in the report before Council.
And I thought so that it's preliminary, we have discussed the fact yesterday that it would need to come back to Council to make sure it met those requirements. So I just wanted to make that very clear. Now, speaker against, Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. It's kind of a mixed statement, I suppose, I'm going to make here. First of all, I don't agree that it should be used for a commercial site, so 100% that's fine. But I'm also looking at the area in general and the amount of residential properties that are around that and the lack of sporting facilities that are in that area or open space for public use. And I'm just wondering whether this is actually a done deal with the applicant. Do they actually own it? Is it ready to go? Is it subject to the...
Point of order. Councillor Golay, what's a done deal?
I think it's important that you stick to the item on the motion. That's not something for our consideration. Is a planning assessment.
So yeah, I just want to know, does the applicant already own the land, or is there scope for us to step in and actually purchase that for sporting use?
It is a point of order, and I need you to ask questions in regards to the motion. It's not something you could be addressing in this forum according to our standing orders.
Okay.
Appreciate that. But all right. Speaker four. Any other speakers for? Councillor Mitchell.
I think the intent of use as residential seems to be agreed by the majority, and the conditions on the layout will be very important. But to call it planning on the run, I think, doesn't really give the credit to the work of Councillor Tolte, the community, and the officers, or indeed the future opportunities of us as councillors to influence the end outcome. So I'm comfortable with the amended motion as is. Thank you.
Councillor Bishop.
Can I just ask for clarification from officers if there is a report coming back to us regarding availability of land used for commercial or industrial purposes, that and when that's coming, if that is coming, because can I just ask that question first?
David?
Through the Chair, yes, I believe there is a report coming to councillors that considers, in particular, the Thornlands area, and as you would be aware, there's a council resolution to actually investigate that area for potential industrial uses, and that report will be with councillors shortly.
Just to pick up on that notional planning on the run, it's not necessarily a very specific term, but I think clarification and using the body of evidence that gives us clarity as lawmakers and decision makers about how we want the city to be planned does require us to look at that sort of work. I am in support of the officers with their suggestion at this stage for refusal, pending that information that will give us clarity how we think about our city. And I also like to acknowledge that residents have made it clear that what they would prefer is for it to be residential. Across the city, obviously, we need to think about not just about high use commercial or industrial precincts, but there are many other applications for light industrial that could end up being an appropriate use on this site. If there was a different application that was to come along that would be very appropriate in what is otherwise a fairly rural area. So I just think that the way we think about expansion beyond the footprint should be very much aligned with our strategic planning, and I would like to wait for that report before we change away from the officer's recommendation.
Speaker 4. Clarification, Councillor O'Gorry.
I'm through you to David. I'm just asking for clarification again. We discussed this yesterday. I agree with Councillor Tolte for residential in that area. If it was my own division, and that's how I, you know, you look at things across the city, I wouldn't like industry to be going in there and impacting the, not only the residents, but, you know, also that environment with the creek line down the back, plus the overlays, the waterway overlays and everything that we discussed yesterday. However, we had lots of concerns with the layout, as officers have said, and it was suggested yesterday that perhaps the UR zoning wouldn't be the correct, you know, zoning for that. Maybe larger lots, you know, would be better in that area. With the new motion that Councillor Tolte has that put up, are we stuck to that zoning, or is there a way that we can get that better outcome for the community by having residential put in there, but we leave it open as to what zoning is there? And I think then that would be satisfactory to the other councillors, because I think we're all in agreement of reducing the impact of industry or something there, but we're not in agreeing to what sort of layout goes there. So I'm trying to get it that we have it open and then use that amendment package, which is coming up after we've done a more thorough, you know, area zoning, not zoning, planning.
Through the chair. So the application before council is what you have to make a decision on. The application is essentially a rezoning from industrial to urban residential. That's the decision council has to make. You're not deciding on an alternative. You have to make a decision on what's been proposed, which is to apply the urban residential provisions. That said, Councillor Tauti's proposed motion does include a condition that seeks minimum lot size of 400 square metres. And again, it's for council to decide whether you accept that motion. But that's certainly in the conditions proposed by Councillor Tauti.
So if Councillor Tolte's motion wasn't to get up, then we're back to where?
Confused.
Yeah, so that's the outcome then, isn't it? If this motion doesn't get up, if it doesn't get up, we're back to having industrial there and those... Is that correct? So we're back to industrial unless we then later change it in an amendments package.
That's right. So if this application is refused, if you don't accept the principle of urban residential development, if the application is refused, it remains industrial. It will remain industrial until such time as there's an amendment to the scheme or another application is approved for a different use, for a residential use. But it would remain industrial until one of those two things happens.
Councillor Golay, I'll give you another whirl.
Very, very quickly. So if it doesn't get up and it stays zoned as commercial, can we as a council then rezone it for sporting use?
Well, once again, that's not a question for today, but we obviously have that choice as council, but then you'd be wanting to refer to our open space and strategy, etc. So it's not, councils can do whatever they like through that scheme, assuming they've got A, the support of council and the support of the community, but in the meantime, it would need to, you'd need to find a reason that it supported our strategy for sport and recreation as well. Sorry, Councillor Hewlett.
I certainly don't want that to be a light industrial area, and I think it doesn't suit it.
Councillor Hewlett, you've actually turned your microphone off.
I certainly don't want it to be an unsuitable small lot housing development. In my opinion, this should go out to, as Councillor Elliott, and Councillor Elliott wasn't supporting light industrial, as Councillor Gleeson alluded to. He just wanted the developer to wait while we investigated it further. Now, there's a lot of land there. It's prime residential. I agree it shouldn't be light industrial land, but there's other uses that that land could be used for. I think we should go out in community consultation specifically and ask the community what you want. As Councillor Gleeson alluded to, of course people think residential is better than light industrial, but you put a park or a community centre there, and I'll bet you they'll like that a lot more than residential. So it's okay to look at the lesser of two evils and go, yeah, that's what we're doing. The developer knows he's only put his toe in the water. The plan he's put forward, he's got housing in the flood zone, he's got no buffer zone on the main road.
Well, I think the conditions have addressed that though, Councillor.
I've seen conditions get washed away before, Karen, and I just...
Councillor Hewlett, I don't think that's an appropriate comment.
Well, I retract that. But look, there are other uses of this land. Light industrialism, I don't think is an appropriate one, but we should certainly investigate the whole area, including the other side of the road, so we have a better idea of what we can do with this precinct. So I won't be supporting this motion.
Just before we... I think everyone's had a natter. Just a question. I think, you know, there's been some suggestion that this land can be downzoned. And I think that needs to be an understanding that the owner of this land could seek potentially compensation and therefore still actually push forward a light industrial application in that process. Is that fair to say? Because they have a time frame to do that. Just a question to David.
Well, the applicant has an existing approval for industrial development, so that could still occur. If council were to refuse this application, the owner would have decisions to make as to whether they pursue an appeal on this decision, whether they would seek to have an industrial use or whether they would take some other route. It's also fair to say that even if that approval lapsed, they could, if the industrial zone remains, seek to make an application, if council were to amend the scheme, for an industrial use as a superseded scheme application.
Correct.
If council chose to not accept that as a superseded scheme application and assess it against the rezoned land and refuse the application, then there's potential for a compensation claim. But there's a number of steps to get through to get to that point.
Thanks, Councillor. Thanks, David.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things because
Under the Integrated Planning Act, there's a number of ways you can deal with an application, and certainly under the Planning Act, you can do what we've just done and go through a planning scheme review and amend areas of zones, etc. It's quite a legitimate process under the Integrated Planning Act to make an application to rezone land. That is a process. The question for me, and I'd like to put it to councillors, is if you support this being residential, then, and you don't want, well, let me rephrase that. If you don't want to see industrial development there, then this is a legitimate process to consider the proposal. It's not jumping the gun. It's what the Integrated Planning Act allows us to do. And therefore, dealing with it through a preliminary approval process allows us to keep a finger on the pulse, make sure the outcomes are in line with what council expects. And I ask you, if the report comes back next week and says, oh, we need that land, do you still think it's an appropriate use for industrial area? Because before Councillor Gleeson, I actually had the very same issues where my phone would ring off when a metal processing plant would start out their machines at 7:30 in the morning in Jones Road, and children with babies in townhouses along Old Cleveland Road East couldn't get to sleep or couldn't get their babies to sleep. It is a conflict having those two areas, and we've spoken about that broadly. So my question is, regardless of what that report might say, this is not an appropriate adjacent use to a residential area. So you have a choice. Sure, you can buy it at industrial land prices at the cost to the ratepayer. You can certainly wait for a major amendment package, which still allows a process to happen that's already in play. In my mind, we're actually, I guess, giving confidence to the people that live around there by doing this process this way, and it is a legitimate process. It's not jumping the gun. It's a legitimate process that's been considered by the officers. They are obviously tied to what the planning scheme says, and that recommendation reflects that. But as councillors who deal with the community on a face-to-face basis, we know what happens when you plan industrial right next to residential, and we have an opportunity, in my view, to make it right today. And it's not jumping the gun. Because I would hesitate that if you were to go out and with a clean scheme right now, you would not zone that area light industrial, not in a wild fit. And even if a report came back and said you needed industrial land, you'd look elsewhere, which is what we're doing. And it's just a matter of timing. And it's unfortunate the timing is what it is, but that's sort of the challenges that we deal with. So I think everyone's had a bit of a natter now, and I've seen a couple more hands go up, but I thought I might test the room. Councillor Elliott, did you want to add something?
Just a comment on the fuel part, that's all. Councillor Selby's own words were that maybe they'll never build industrial here, and suddenly we now say it's going to be the end of the world. I find this bizarre.
Well, it's a process. It's, you might find it bizarre, but it's actually a legitimate process. Well, the value of it is industrial, and that's the value of the land. So that's all. Look, I think we've had enough discussion. We have a motion, and it's been moved and seconded. Did you want to just sum up on that motion, Councillor?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. There's been a few comments made that I'd like to sum up on. First of all, the idea that this is planning on the run, and I appreciate your comments. I don't agree it's planning on the run, and even I'm not that unfit that it could run this slow. We've been through a 5-year planning process. I have been raising this issue, and I have been told, wait, we need this report, we need that report, etc. So we waited and we waited and we waited, and now we're supposed to wait for an amendment package because the reports aren't there, etc. Well, in the meantime, the world outside this place has moved on, and we've got an application and we have to decide it, and the community knows what they want, and this is the right way to deal with it. With regard to the comments on the layout becomes fairly irrelevant, I feel, because the recommendations in the motion that is before the council currently make requirements on the applicant that by the time the layout is reviewed, with all of these requirements in mind, we will have a new layout come back before us. So just to remind councillors what is required, that the development currently has a small number of lots that are less than 400 square metres, I think from memory 385 square metres. They are required without reducing the frontages, which are quite good frontages for residential development of this type, to come up to 400 square metres. It also requires that they maximise road frontages to the open space area, which is not currently depicted in the drawing. And adjoining open space land to the south along the western boundary, that it maximises pedestrian access to those open space areas through used shared park paths and to the adjoining park area to the west, that they remove any proposed configuration of land in the open space zone, that it complies with all of the waterways, wetlands and Moreton Bay overlay code, and requires that all the uses and other development are located outside of that area on the map. It complies with the flood-prone, storm-tide and drainage-constrained land overlay code. That it is required to provide a dedication along German Church Road to facilitate future planned upgrades, a landscape buffer and acoustic barriers, as has been provided by other housing developments in the same road. And that this all come back for submission to council with including a proper traffic report, an acoustic amenity report, habitat impacts reports, and a redesigned layout which meets all of those needs. So all of the matters that have been raised in regard to the layout will be required to be met in order for this preliminary approval to move to a proper approval. There is a current approval over this site, and I haven't looked at it for a long time, but from memory it was for 18 industrial sheds. It's also been looked at by TransLink previously as a bus depot, and I don't think anybody would want to live next door to 200 odd buses starting up at 4 o'clock in the morning either. And the bus depot was something that was seriously considered, and the only reason that it didn't go ahead was because of state government budgetary constraints, not because they didn't think it was a good idea. Again, looking at the lot sizes, that's been shown that, you know, it would be planning on the run to suggest that we can pick some zone out of the air for this. We have a zone of light industrial. We have an application for urban residential. If the applicant meets all of the requirements in the conditions of this approval, then we will get the highest and best use under our planning scheme, and that will also meet the requirements of both the new planning scheme and the old planning scheme. It's been a little bit devious, I think, to suggest that this area could, to give the community the idea that we've got a third option where we could plan this to be a sporting field or a park.
Councillors, she's summing up, and that was mentioned, and she's able to do that. She can't thank you, councillors.
I withdraw the word devious. Mischievous.
Thank you, councillors. I'll refer you to your standing orders. Councillors, enough. She's withdrawn the word. She's withdrawn the word, and I'll remind you that I'll be addressing any of those comments that you make in this chamber by the same standards that you've just set. Councillor Tolte.
The decision before us...
Would you like to put that on record, councillor? Okay, well, you can do that, and you do that through the standing order process. Do you know what your standing order is to deal with that? No, you won't. No, I appreciate that you respect the chair and the person who has the floor at the moment, and I ask you to be quiet and allow her to finish summing up. Thank you. And we won't take the snide remarks. It's not necessary and it's not respectful. Thank you.
We currently have land which is zoned light industrial. We have an application before us for urban residential. The only way that this land could become a park or sporting field, and I would suggest also that it would not be big enough to be a sporting field, would be for us to go through a very long process of rezoning the land through the planning scheme process, and at which time, as Officer Jeans has already explained, would also still allow for the owners of the land with their current approval sitting and their current zoning to use those zoning any time within 12 months of that change going through. They could also use the normal planning processes to extend their current approval over the land for quite some period after that. So I would hesitate for the community to think that there was an option for us to quickly and easily change this to sporting fields or park. It really isn't an option.
No, that's not a point of order, councillor. Councillor, enough. Quiet. My second warning, I'll ask you to leave. I want you to respect the standing orders, which is the rules that each and every one of us have to live by to keep respect and order in this chamber. You may finish, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As I've just explained, the process for that to happen would be extraordinarily long and difficult.
Point of order. That's
Councillor. And what section of the standing order?
Councillor Telfy, I don't know. I'll ask for advice. I'll go through you to the CO. What is the section I wish to talk about?
The CEO cannot understand what you're about to say.
You suspend the meeting.
Madam Mayor, I withdraw.
Well, you need to standing orders then.
Councillor, your point of order.
Forgot it now. Councillor Telfy's off. Doesn't matter.
She's addressing my understanding, and I'll be corrected. That in the summing up, you're able to address issues that have been raised on the floor. Am I correct in that?
Yes.
Thank you. Correct. And that's exactly that's the process that's been occurring. Thank you, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, finally, I'd just like to say that really everyone, as far as I can tell in the room, has agreed that residential is a preferable use over light industrial in this site. That being the case, we have the application before us, and I'm asking that you allow this to move to preliminary approval in order for the officers and the applicant to work their way through the requirements of the zone as it would be if we were zoned for residential, and to bring back a plan which will then be scrutinised further and allow us to look at it to see how we can get the highest and best use and the most compatible use for the community in this site. Thank you.
As a summing up, councillors, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is lost. Those in favour? Oh, what there? Did I miss it? Sorry. Motion. The motion. Support of the motion is Councillor Bog. Oh, sorry, it's not lost. No, Councillor Edwards is on the phone. He just said aye. Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Williams. The motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to the next item, councillors, which will be, we've already done 3.4, so we'll be on to the renewal of a Telstra lease. Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Telstra Corporation currently have a lease on this council-owned land at Giles Road, Redland Bay. That lease expires at the end of next month, and they've requested an extension of a further 20 years.
Speaker against, councillors? Comment, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to note that this is only a lease over the small area that's required. It's not a lease over the entire lot, and the lot is still available for other uses should we need it for any other purpose. That's all.
Any other comments or questions, councillors? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously, and we have Councillor Golay, Councillor Elliott out of the room. Thank you. All right, moving on to the next item, which is 11.3.6. We have a mover for the motion. Councillor 11.3.6. I think I'll just give you 2 seconds to gather your thoughts. Move, Councillor Boglari, seconded. Councillor Hewlett, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari?
Sorry, I have it in front of me. Get my thoughts together. The officer's recommendation is to leave the Koala SPRP over this block of land, and having had previously SPRPs reduced in my area and then finding quite a significant impact on koala habitat, wildlife corridors, etc., I am agreeing with the officer's recommendation to support leaving it over the area.
Thanks, Councillor Boglari. Any speakers against? Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We've got an unusual application in that we've got an application for bed and breakfast, and associated with that we've got an environmental report, a very complete environmental report, asking for a ground truthing of overlays. The officers have not disputed the environmental report. In fact, quite the opposite in the report. They accept the environmental report. They accept that the area that is asking to be changed in classification is appropriate, and that that they do agree with the environmental report. However, on a matter of planning, they don't believe that they can associate that environmental report with the bed and breakfast application, which is such a significant distance away. It's a little bit confusing, I think, for people to think that this, and that's been confusing for councillors too, why these two things have been linked in one application. So I can understand that under planning regulation, officers have to follow that regulation. The regulation requires that such a change be directly associated with the need for the bed and breakfast, which they can't substantiate. But at the same time, we've got many, many private property owners in my particular division in the south of the city who are aware that the overlays from state government that are over their properties are very broad brush, have not been ground truthed, and would like those maps to be updated and to be more reflective and more appropriate to what's actually on the ground. we've got an anomaly, in my view, where we've got someone who has done a really significant environmental report, a report that is considered to be a ground truthing of the site, is not disputed, but can't be acknowledged through this particular process because of the rules of approval under planning regulation. So, you know, I think there's definitely a hole there where landowners in our city who want to provide detailed information to council in order to ensure that our maps are actually accurate, and our maps have to come down from state, that's where the problem lies, don't have a vehicle to do it unless they want to do a development. So if you don't want to do a development that actually builds something in the area that you're specifically trying to correct, then there isn't an avenue for you to do it, and I find that quite difficult for people. So, it's not good. Thank you.
Speaker for the motion. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And it's really to acknowledge that sometimes it does appear that an application, when there's a bit of a seeming disconnect, can look like it's going to lead to impacts that are unlooked for. What I'm referring to is, I know in my own Division 10, an application for a housing application allowed clearing of significant vegetation. It appears that house application didn't ever go ahead, and maybe it was never intended to, but the subsequent development did go ahead, and the clearing has taken place. I'm concerned about this, and I'd rather stick with the officer's recommendation that we actually look at preserving the land as it stands and acknowledge the site under its current zoning, and understand that the habitat value is significant, and look for more clarity between what the developer is actually proposing and intending and what's likely to appear on the ground. So I'm going with the officer's recommendation.
Any speakers for the speakers against? Comment, Councillor Elliott.
Yeah, thanks, mate. This is just a test. This is probably the easiest and cheapest test you can do, and you throw your environmental report, and I agree, it's top notch, one of the best, I hope so. But that's the reality. They're testing the water. There's a much bigger thing going to come, and they'll get a refusal, but they'll be back with a big development, you watch.
Any other comments? I think I just might add to that. I think, it's fair to say that they've got the report that they want in the environmental report that they've got that allows them to proceed with the whatever they're proposing. I just don't think it would be very transparent. I don't think it allows the officers, the officers basically have to make sure that request for Division 9 is associated to the application. It's clearly not even on the same lot. They have the report that they can use for further development applications, but in this instance I'll be supporting the officer's recommendation. So I'll hand back to Councillor Boglari to sum up.
Thank you. I was actually just going to ask the officer if they could just say those couple of sentences they said yesterday, which really explained the Sustainable Planning Act and how it all links. I could give it a go, but it wouldn't be nearly as articulate as David will say it, and it just made it so clear yesterday. Thank you. Explained yesterday that linkage that has to be to a DA application, and this simply doesn't have it, and it's under the Sustainable Planning Act, I believe. Could you just explain that again? Because I think that just made it really clear for everyone in the gallery.
So, through the chair, the Koala State Planning Regulatory Provision provides mapping that reflects vegetation on the ground. If an applicant for an application believes that the mapping is incorrect, they could actually seek through a development application process to say, the state, you got your mapping wrong. For the purposes of deciding this application and this application only, we would like you to consider that the mapping is incorrect and apply it differently. For that request to be agreed, the Koala SPRP says it has to be imposed as a condition of approval, and a condition on an approval has to be reasonable and relevant. And we would say there's no relevance for remapping land which is nowhere near the site of the actual bed and breakfast application. So we would say it fails that reasonable and relevant test under the Sustainable Planning Act.
And that would be my summing up. Thank you, David. I think it just explained it really clearly. Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Boglari. With that, councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Edwards?
Aye.
Okay. Is that in favour of the officer's recommendation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So those in favour, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, and Councillor Williams. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to the next item. Councillors, there is no mayoral minute. We didn't get to speak further to that one yesterday, so I've not been advised of any other motions, councillors, so if I could... councillor?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I did send through... just in relation to the presentation that was made earlier by a member of the community relating to the Ombudsman's report, I've just got a suggestion for urgent business without notice, just to ask for further information about where the Ombudsman report is at, and a recommendation that we... Well, a consideration from councillors as to the merits of adopting the or considering those various proposals.
So, councillor, I'll just go through the checklist. I don't think it qualifies for urgent business. Certainly, I'm sure that officers can give you that update regardless, but it doesn't require it to be dealt with at this general meeting. It doesn't require a decision of council to get that information. Is a checklist of six here? Can it wait to be placed on another
agenda?
Just
a clarification. Do they have to be all six?
Yes. That's a checklist.
Does it? Does it stop
can,
that?
Can the matter be dealt with administratively? It pretty much doesn't meet any of them, councillor.
No, the discussion with regards to... I'll go through them. I think it does have relevance in relation to this meeting for a discussion in public, because it has been raised by a member of the community.
And that might be so, but it doesn't need to be dealt with at this general meeting.
Just addressing that particular checklist. Does the matter require a decision only council can make? I think it is a discussion that is amongst councillors to discuss. It's not an administrative thing. It's actually a matter for councillors to discuss.
No, it is actually administrative. I'll get this. I'll get Bill, actually, I think, perhaps to comment.
So this is on point two in relation to me.
Councillor, it doesn't make the... And firstly, it's administrative. It doesn't actually meet the requirements of urgent business. And I'm asking you to respect those standing orders, because otherwise it becomes very difficult to manage agendas in here. But, Bill, I would suggest that it has been dealt with administratively, and it can be dealt with administratively and doesn't require a resolution of council, and it's certainly not urgent.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, I'll just refer you to... We have discussed this in the meeting. I'm sorry I don't have a copy of the petition knowing what it does, but nor do I have the exact recommendations with me, but I can tell you that the recommendations have been actually dealt with through that. So one of the first ones was around a policy matter, so we have sought advice from the state and also LGAQ. LGAQ has made a submission to the state. The state was requested in that Ombudsman report to report and put into a policy. We're awaiting that from the Department of Local Government, which was the recommendation of the Ombudsman's report. When that arrives, we will adopt that in due process through the normal... or you will adopt that through the normal due process. There was another matter about writing to the two respondents, which we have completed, and they were sent through to the two respondents. I note the petitioner, one Deborah Henry, was not in the Ombudsman's report and was not a recommendation of the Ombudsman's report. She did not was not party to the complaint, so how we deal with that is a matter that we'll have to look through to. I think the other ones... just trying to remember the recommendation, sorry, on notice. But again, I think everything through there we have absolutely complied with through those. And again, we do, as we've discussed with you, our legal advice by two independent legal people, as well as Mr. Nick Clark, our previous GM of Organisational Services, did a thorough review prior to it going to the Ombudsman's report. We've adopted those Ombudsman's reports whilst taking a view administratively that the Ombudsman is not correct in some points of law, as we submitted to that through there. So, again, I'm unsure with this. I did have a brief discussion with Councillor Golay last week that we had completed all those, and I'm happy to get Claire, who has been doing this on our behalf, and to circulate those two letters to you. But how you deal with the petition and you want further, that's up to you, but we have dealt with the report appropriately.
Thanks, Councillor. I think you've had your question answered. That's been the update that you requested, and it's not urgent business. And I'll be.
So what's not urgent business?
You were suggesting that you needed to have a motion of council.
So is it going to be discussed at any point in the future?
I think the CEO's just articulated through those processes where we look at how we deal with these in the future. Those processes will be discussed by councillors. I'm going to move on in the agenda to the closed session, councillors. And we need a mover. There's a few items there that will need discussion, I believe. Councillor Elliott, so we're going to move into closed session. Moved
Madam
from Councillor Elliott, seconded by Councillor Mitchell.
Before we close, in relation to that previous point, just ask if councillors support a vote in favour of that?
Councillor, it's not urgent business. We've moved on, thank you.
Moving on,
we are going to move into closed session. I'm just going to take that vote. Before I do that, I just acknowledge that... today will be one of the last couple of days that Bill Lyon, our former CEO, will be with us. I unfortunately wasn't able to be here at his last general meeting, and certainly on my personal behalf, I'd like to thank you for the great work that you've done for this city and for this organisation. I know that you've handed the baton on to a very capable CEO. From my perspective, our ability to generate good outcomes for our city, turning our deficits into surpluses, and the culture of the organisation will be a legacy that Andrew will pick up and run with, I'm sure. So thank you very much, and may I personally, on behalf of councillors, wish you all the very best for your future, and we look forward to keeping in touch and seeing your success, whatever you do. With that, I think we've got a mover and seconder. I'll put the motion that we move into closed session. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 16.2.1. 16.1 through. Can I move these on block? Not everyone's supporting it. That's right. My apologies. There is a change as well. That's correct. So on 16.2.1, we're moving option 2. Sorry, 1.1 firstly, which is the RIC report. Councillor Elliott, happy to move that?
Yep.
Seconded by Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those
aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Is that an against? On the RIC report? No, on the RIC report. So, my apologies. So that's unanimous. On item 16.2.1, Councillor Elliott, are you happy to move that option 2? I asked you to before, and you said you'd move these four items. This is the Donald Simpson Centre.
Oh yeah, I thought Ben was going to move it when we spoke about it yesterday.
No, he was moving the North Street one, I think. And I've asked that you and Paul move and second these, if that's all right. So item 16.2.1, which is the Donald Simpson Centre, move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried, and those in favour will be Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay. Those in favour? I'm just making sure. I did say option 2. It's not amended, it's an option. There was option 1 and option 2. There was an alternative recommendation in the officer's recommendation. Yeah, it was. Those in favour, can I just get that up again, please? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams, Councillor Edwards. Those against, Councillor Boglari. Before you voted for that, Councillor Golay. Okay. against, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop. Thank you, councillors. On to the next item, 16.2.2. Councillor Elliott, happy to move that? Seconded Councillor Gleeson.
Are councillors happy with that? That's really, it's in five sections or six sections. Is it the whole one? Or, I'm happy with it all, but...
You're talking about the environmental separate land? We're just doing 16.2.2. I'm doing the individual items, Councillor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm doing them individually as requested. Okay, so that, are you happy to move and second that still, Councillors? Elliott and Gleeson, yeah. Those in favour of 16.2.2?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Thank you, Councillors. Item 16.2.3, Councillor Elliott, happy to move that. Councillor Gleeson, second that. There was with an amendment to that. They're in there. Happy to move that. Okay, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. And item 16.2.4 was the proposal to make the alignment amendment. Those in favour? Oh, I'll get a mover and seconder. Sorry, mover. Councillor, getting ahead of myself. Councillor Elliott and Councillor Gleeson, those in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. Oh, sorry, Julie, were you against that? My apologies. You're against the alignment amendment?
No, you're against the alignment.
Sorry, the punning scheme policies. So the 16.2.3 is the draft planning scheme policies public going out to public consultation.
Yep.
I voted in the negative. And 16.2.4 is the proposal for the alignment amendment. Yeah, no, but I obviously didn't record it correctly. I didn't. I didn't record that because I was. Councillors, and 16.2.3, just to be clear, which is the going out to consultation on the public, public consultation on the planning scheme policies. And we added the dates of consultation, correct? Mm-hmm. Just, can you just indicate your support so I'm correct for the record?
16.2.3.
Yep.
No.
So, Julie, Councillor Tolte has voted in the negative. And 16.2.4, which is the proposal to make an alignment amendment to the local planning instrument. Those in favour?
Aye.
That is unanimous. Item 16.3.1. Councillor Hewlett, you're happy to move the officer's recommendation? And Councillor Hughes, happy to second that? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the motion is moved and declared unanimous. Item 16.3.2, Councillor Hewlett, you happy to move that? Councillor Hughes? Officer's recommendation. Yeah, what the officer's recommendation, yep. So happy to second that, Councillor Hughes?
Yes.
Just making sure. Yeah, can we just be clear because, yeah, that's normally the case. Are you comfortable with that, Councillor? Thank you. All right, I'll put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried. Oh, pardon me, yes. There's two of us that will need to declare. Can we please put on record? Are you done, councillors? Thank you. I'd like to put on the record my potential conflict of interest. Conflict of interest is I'm vice patron of Surf Life Saving Queensland, of various clubs. I mean, I know that that's probably separate, but it's up to you, councillors, if you want to have that recorded on the minutes. But I will. Thanks, Phil. I guarantee that I will vote in the community's interest.
My perceived conflict is I'm vice patron of Point Lookout Surf Lifesaving Club, and I'll continue to vote in the community interest.
Are you vice patrons, councillors, or what are you?
No,
vice patron.
We'll put you down as office bearers or honorary office bearers, it would be. Okay, I'll take that vote again, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Were you voting against, Councillor Bishop, or for? Okay, Councillor Gleeson's voted in the negative. Thank you. Just checking. With that, councillors, I declare the meeting closed at 1:21. Thank you for your participation. Okay.